Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 220. This is the conclusion, part two, The Scent Sends. Today is Sunday, November 13th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostess, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail with your address. Verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. Come between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Bring extra bags to carry other food that's available, and that food is generally produce, dairy products, baked goods, and some canned goods. If you want to purchase extra food from Pastor Paul, bring dollar bills. Do not bring anything larger than a 5. If you need more information about Pastor Paul's Club and how to register your household for monthly groceries, directions to Pastor Paul's, call 612-521-4665, prompt 1. Now, this is the month of November, my favorite month. Well, every month is a good month for me, but I love Thanksgiving. I love turkey dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, homemade cranberries, sweet potatoes, green beans, you know, just all the traditional Thanksgiving foods. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Did I mention scalloped corn? I can hardly wait. So, there again, if you need food, come on to Pastor Paul's. We've got lots of food as well. The month of November, our transitional month, we go from a nice summer to cold winter, Thanksgiving, holidays around the corner, all kinds of things happening. Well, here's what's happening on the podcast. Jot these down, the messages, divine thoughts, the scent sends, the invisible people, poverty. This is going to be a good month. Be back here every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. And if you're not here, You're not all there? Is that how it goes? Thanks for coming to the podcast. I love the podcast. I am so thankful for this podcast. And I hope you are. Have a great month. God bless you.
They didn't pick up your shoes.
Miserable mothers are miserable, aren't they?
How many times have I told you?
And they go out and they kick the dog. Get out of here! They kick the dog.
You miserable dog! You miserable kids! You miserable mate! This miserable house, this miserable car, and that miserable job.
Why are they miserable? You're in it. Am I hitting home? Oh, yes, I know I am. There is a roll going on. Let it roll over you and crush that miserable life of yours. We ought to have a miserable club where everybody gets together and just sits around. Wouldn't that make a nice portrait? Well, do you guys want to join it? I venture to say, if I did like the Greeks of old and had a box here and they said, everybody put down their miserable existence in this box. And then you went and shook it all up like at one of the bizarre bingo, church bingo games. And it spun the cage. And you got somebody else's misery, you'd be running back here in a hurry. Give me back my own miserable existence. It looks real good. You want to take my place? I'm not miserable. I even tried to be miserable one time. No, people call you miserable. It doesn't make you miserable. Does it? Woke up a few people there. Guy's gagging on his Frito legs right now, huh? Woke him up. Wake up, radio audience! So to give is more blessed than to receive. I mean give. I mean it's miserable to stand at the mailbox waiting for someone to send something to you. That doesn't have any kind of fragrance to it at all. Whatever he says to us, we shall aim to do it. Although we are sons, we are also servants. You see on these stores, Ed Jacobs and Sons. Who's the boss of that place? Ed Jacobs. Servants. I am a son of God. And people sit down. We are the sons of God. What a testimony. Not doing anything. Even in the world and business, they say, son, either you shape up or I'm going to take your Ed Jacobs and son off of this thing or sons off of this thing. You guys aren't doing your job here. They have more wisdom than we do sometimes. Yeah, we're the sons of God. We're the king's kids. Isn't that stupid? And they're sitting there in short pants. They're 50 years old, sitting there in short pants and a hat with a ribbon down the back and little Fonderoy ruffles in the front here. and white socks up to here, rolling a hoop with one of them sticks, and a sucker in her hand. Huh? King's kids. My, isn't that nice? Where are you going? Oh, we're going to a great big spiritual convention. And so all these little babes are sitting there in short pants, looking real simple. Now, you're going to look simple wearing that kind of clothes, that's for sure, isn't it? Better put on the full armor of God. Better get involved. Better be one of those that are sent out into the world to minister the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't do our own will then. So many times we do our own will. Isn't there a lot of I won't people? I won't. I won't do it. Now, and somebody's getting ready to turn this off right now. It's an I won'ter. How many know there's a lot of I won'ters out there? I won't. I won't. I won't. No. We'll not do our own will, but the will of Him who sent us. Oh, if we could only be sound on that one point. If we could only yield our members in perfect obedience and bring every thought into subjection to Christ. Oh, if we could only die to self and live into Christ. Can you drink of this cup? Be baptized with this baptism? You can? Oh, that's great. Then you shall, and then only shall you, fulfill your mission on which He sends you. Jim and I were talking about it after the run the other day, down on the hobo run. And there was a particularly obnoxious person on the bus that walked up and put his fist into a brother's face. Right? And so we told him to get off the bus. This is the church. This represents the church. That's a fact. You are in the church. And when they get that fact down, when they understand that Jim or myself or any of us are sent to do that job of God, and he's quieted down right away. Because he knew that we were sent and he had to get off the bus. But we didn't send the other brother off. We drove him away. We're not idiots. We drove him up a couple blocks and dropped him off. Huh? We didn't say, get off here. Father, protect him. No. There are Christians that do that. It's all right. There'll be angels round about you. Don't worry about it. And these guys are out there with drums. Boom, 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 huh? Screaming for this man's blood. Send him off! Don't worry about it. Wasn't that right? Isn't there pinheads like that? Don't worry about it. There'll be angels around. I remember one time I walked through a ghetto area and I just said, I claim two angels beside me. How many hear this? There are times that you do and there are times that you don't. But God will send you a message loud and clear. Put the bus in gear and get gone. That's what I was receiving at that time. How about you, Jim? We're receiving that message to get that man out of there. And Jim told me, he says, the very man that hit this guy in the face, usually they're after him. And they usually have to have him on the bus and drive him out of here. Certainly, I thought to myself, Jim has been sent to do this job. Nobody else would want to do it, Jim. You even admitted sometimes you don't want to do it. But you knew that you were sent to do that job, and you can't get out of it. Just like I know I'm sent here. Huh? Do people, Christians, like to play? Do you ever play that game when your kids, I send? How many have played that game, I send? Put your hands up. I don't want to be alone in this thing. God, put them way up there. I send. Put your hands up. There's got to be somebody in here. I'm not that old. You line up people like this and line up people over here, and there's a captain on each team, and he says, I send so-and-so. And then they have to try to run and make it to the other side, and then they send somebody, and you have to make it without them touching you. Isn't that the way it goes? What? Red Rover. How many have played Red Rover? Oh, there! Different name. Different name. What's that got to do with being sent, Red Rover? Well, what? Oh, I see. I see. That's a world of game, of course, but... But even the world has its games, and they send people out, don't they? They send salesmen out, and they have a great big factory, and that factory isn't doing no good until someone's sent out with a catalog. They go out with their catalog, and they say, here's what we have. And you have a catalog of all the living ingredients and for eternal life and everything. It's called the Bible. You come out from the factories of God, where He turned you out, made you a new creature in Christ, has you hidden in Christ, in God, in eternal places, spiritually speaking. He knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded, and He elected to save you before that. And here you are in this earthly tent, and Jesus has sent you out with this catalog of life. Here's what we have to offer. And you know what? Reverend Moon is way ahead of us because he's offering something else. Because we're not doing our legwork and we're not taking our catalog, the Bible, the catalog of life out and offering it to people. We're giving little smidgens, little prosperity smidgens. No reality in it. Little hyper faith things. We go out. I'll try to give that message away over there in Biafra or over there in Ethiopia. Reason you people are starving because you don't have any faith. How about you showing them the way? Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. You see that on all them people's faces over there. I watched it last night on the TV, and these people and these little babies, and it's too late for this one. The little one was laying there with just bones, a little bit of skin stretched over it. Huh? And that, to me, it's so shallow to look on these TV shows, and you see these silken davenports and these backdrops and all of these things like that. Or, God, just sell all that you have, Christians. I mean, you have to sell all of these runaway spiritual Walt Disneyland places. Sell all that and feed the poor. Sell it. It's damnable. What have you been sent for? To go on vacation? That's what God says to me. Now this is meant for our Lord, the quitting of his rest when he had to receive this message. And here we have all the heavens, all the angels watching him. And when he came here, he gave it all up to lie down in the manger as a babe. He renounced his rest for toil and hunger and thirst and weariness and death on a cross. And so many times we're taking advantage. Well, he did it all, so we don't have to do anything. So we just claim everything is ours. Praise God. Now listen, friends. You may serve the Lord and yet be as happy as your Lord, as he was. And I got to say this. If Jesus has sent you into the world, you are not to seek your own ease or your own comfort. You are not even supposed to give yourself that first thought of your own comfort. How nice that evening at home would be. That thought when the Lord has already sent you somewhere. How nice it would be to just sit there, but the Lord has sent you out to save souls. How wonderful to read book after book after book on how to, but never how do. So henceforth you are to consider nothing but how you can answer the design of him who sent you. How great to sit home every Friday night and never miss one of these soap sequences. But were you sent for that? No, our aim, or your aim, and our aim, I should say, must be to do the utmost possible for the Lord. And I think the Christian who does much is still an idler if he could do more. I talked to a man yesterday, a very wealthy man, and he said, well, you know what happens with us? We become greedy. And I almost said, let me help you out. Let me help you out. You are miserable. No, I don't think any of us has ever reached the point of diligence until we are doing all that lieth in us. And then are even wishing we could do far more. Listen to Psalm 57 and 3. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. I read that and I thought, glory to God. Here's a person that has done all that he can do. The battle is so fierce. He's wondering, there's no way out. I'm going to lose on this one. It all looks bad. And then God sends messengers. And his messengers are angels. And at that very time, and I've gone through this a lot of times, you will be delivered from the dog of hell. Not only delivered, preacher, are you hearing this? Not only delivered from the sneer and the bite of our enemy, but also the bark. All the cruel jesting, all the cruel taunting, all the jibes shall be ended by the message from heaven. And it goes on and says, God will send forth mercy and his truth. Now he cried out for mercy and God even sent the truth along with it. That truth is the power of God, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, folks, it's fantastic. You got to stand, having done all, stand. When everything looks dark and dank and cellarly, at that very moment, there's a dawning coming. It's the darkest, just before the dawn. And all of a sudden, things start to break for you. And so I thought to myself, that's where we're at right now. We are ready for a breakthrough. I mean, the clouds are going to part, and if there's no one to help, friends, God is watching all of this. You know what? He's going to send His messengers down. Angels to watch over me. Isn't there a song like that? And you know what happens then? We renounce our natural love of ease that we may please Him who has sent us. Because when Son of God, the Savior also, had to forego even heaven itself, there's something you have to give up to work in the kingdom of God. So here we see God-man, the mediator. He didn't return until He could say this, and I don't think we should return until we can say this. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Yet I have a work to do down here. It certainly isn't finished. Not until I draw or suck in a little the last air. And then He goes on, and now, O Father, glorify Thou me. I'm ready. I'm ready for the glorification process. Don't sigh too heavy for heaven when there's so much to do down here. Let us go on then with our work down here below. Let us do that work and do it well and with all, and don't be sitting around miserable. Oh God, so miserable. You know, it's easy to be miserable, isn't it? Now, I can just set my mind right here. And my subconscious is saying, God, just be miserable. Slump in your chair. Slide down in your chair. Fall out. Let all your face hang out. Do you ever feel like that? Miserable? Why did you bring that in there? Because there is a spirit of miserableness. Someone on the radio is miserable. Maybe someone in here. I think the Bible says that Jesus is long-suffering, doesn't it? Shouldn't we be also when it comes to preaching the gospel? As Thou hast sent me into the world. He didn't come to the outskirts. He didn't speak off the back of a train. He didn't wave from a bus. He didn't wave from the IDS. It says that He sat with sinners. He didn't turn up His nose, and don't you turn up your nose because you have to sit with the poor or feed the poor or minister to the lowly. You out there, remember, you're only a depression away from the same thing yourself. And so He was sent into the world, and this sent into the world involved abiding in humiliation. It says the world knew Him not. And so the world doesn't know you either. Are you sent into the world to be honored and pampered? Oh, here comes Paul. He's a Christian. Hi, Christian. Come in. Come in. Partake with us. Oh, everybody put your smokes away. Everybody put your drinks away. Close the bar down. Come on now, come on in. We so honor you coming in here. We're going to give up all of our bad ways We're so honored. Come in, sir. No, you go in there. They'll kick you out of there. They don't honor you. You're not going to be pampered, and you're not going to be loved. And they're not going to say, oh, here comes Pastor Paul. Oh. Oh, yeah, that's that freak down there on the north side. One guy that was working here to us says, Pastor Paul, you know what you are? You're a nasty, bald-headed little old man. And I heard what he said. But I said, would you mind repeating that? I said, you are a nasty, bald-headed little old man. Now I says, now I know I'm right on. And I know I've grown in grace because I'm not hitting you. And I really want to, brother. But I'll forego that for the joy that is before me. And I went in the kitchen and beat up on the refrigerator, you know. Not spiritual enough for you? Hey, it's the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's got to be realism in the house of God. God has sent you. Yeah, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and now, O Father, glorify thou me. You ever feel like crying that out? I'm ready for glorification! No, Christ came, it says, and he took on our nature, sat with sinners, and the world knew him not. You're going to be humiliated. And so you have fellowship with the only begotten in many ways. What does it mean to fellowship with Christ? It means to suffer with him. It means to live the life as he was sent into the world, so are we also sent by him. Okay, now you see what happened to me. Go on out there. Who, me? Well, send Pastor Paul. I mean, send so-and-so over there. I mean, no. Me? I just sit in a pew, to which I say, pew. No, I'm not. I didn't mean nothing. No, I just came. I just came. I'm a listener. I don't faint. No, see, you got to lay it on people. They're all sent. Or did God just send you to one seminar after another? No, he said, go out and learn of me. And he says, as I was sent into the world, so are you also sent. And it talks about ravenous wolves out there, and it talks about liars and cheaters and gossips and slanderers and spit and stone and darts and arrows. I ain't going out there. Oh, me? Who else? I mean, some of the preachers, there's no more, there's no spots for arrows or darts in their bodies. Someone else has to take it on so the folks can have dart practice. No, they're all sent. And that's what people miss. You're sent out and you're going to be misunderstood. Expect it. Expect to be misrepresented. Expect to be sworn at, cursed, slandered, hated, belied, left out, despised, ridiculed. For so was Jesus sent of the Father. Man, I don't know. That sounds like Mission Impossible to me. Huh. I know. I never got in on this thing. I don't want to get into that kind of ministry. I don't want to get into that hobo bus. I don't want to get into that bread line. I don't want to work in the ghetto. Doesn't the Bible say, "Fear not, I am with you always"? Are we supposed to sit around making up excuses? Why not make up a few excuses for staying in the job to your flesh? Why not tell your flesh off instead of always telling the spirit off? You are to look for evil treatment. For as the Father sent His Son into the world, which was sure to treat Him ill, so has He sent you into the world that will certainly treat you ill. Right? It's going to treat you in the very same manner that it treated Jesus Christ. Unless that we join in and pointing the finger, unless that we join in and putting someone down like the world does. And so if you're like the Lord, don't be surprised at persecution, but don't let it flatten you. Look for it. And take it as part as the covenant entails. The Bible says, "For as Ishmael mocked Isaac, so will the seed after the flesh persecute that which is born according to the promise." And so you see, your being sent of Christ Jesus involves unreserved dedication to His work. All, everybody, every saint, every blood-bought saint. And so when Jesus came, He did nothing but what His Father sent Him to do. Let me lock it up. He had no secondary object of any kind. And from His very great flow, no trickle offshot the mark. It all flowed in the same direction. Not a drop got away. One flow, one design, one plan, and one purpose. And as Jesus was sent, so He sends you. Isn't that comforting to know that you're sent? Doesn't that get you away from your miserable self? You know you make yourself ugly when you're miserable? You didn't think I could be any more ugly? Well, let me put on a face for you. Huh? If you know that you are sent, it takes the misery out of it. Doesn't it? Well, what are you doing? Why do you continue on? I am sent. Woe is me. No, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. No, He came with one design. Not to teach philosophy. He wasn't Plato, He was Jesus. He could have solved the problems of the whole universe because He had all wisdom and all power and all grace. He was all God. But He came and grace came to save men from sin, and no other power in all the universe could do that. He didn't come to debate with the University of Minnesota or argue with Wall Street or try to persuade lukewarm deserters. He didn't come to conquer or become involved with the rights movement. He didn't come to enter into politics and debates and claim to fame ministries. He didn't come to hear endless testimonies about goods and things acquired by faith. His main theme and His main issue was to see souls saved from sin. Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. Shouldn't we take the same course? I have been sent to preach the gospel and the gospel only. Shouldn't we take the same low road course that takes us to the high road? Before the mountain comes the valley. But the mountain comes right after the valley. He took the low way, the lowly way, that took him to the higher way. Let us stick then to the Lord's business. Let that be our first concern, to serve Jesus. It should also be our second concern. Let nothing take position over that. To glorify your Savior should be at the top and in the middle and at the very bottom of our list. Notice also that our Lord was not sent to be ministered to, but to minister. So many of us are sitting around being ministered to. Oh, that's so ministered to me. But what did you do about it? Did you go out and minister it to somebody else? And I think there's a lot of servants like that, continually eating but never serving. I was going to go rent out one of these things. They have these costumes that blow up. They do. They're a great big thing, and they blow up, and they make big fat legs on you, and they get the pants with it and everything, and the great big body, and it would be called the spiritual word hogs. And they sort of bump into things. They bump into each other. Oh, funny bumping into you here at this meeting. Boing, 900-pound word hogs. And there's no flow and there's no go. That is sort of bumping, boing, boing, boinging around. Are you hearing this? And I thought, how do you get it across? Always learning, always being taught, but never becoming involved. Some even want continual snacks during the week. They want their pastor to hand feed them at 3 a.m. in the morning. Some even walk out. Well, we weren't being fed. Oop, burp, burp, burp. Huh? We weren't
being fed. We weren't being fed.
Huh? And so they go someplace else and get fed. And they say, oh, here comes a word hog. Get four chairs ready for this one. This is a big one. I hope their billfold is as big as their body, huh? And so off they go on a trip to the Holy Land. And why am I saying that? Someone's out there and needs to hear this. And they sit there and ponder. Well, some say Jesus was buried 30 feet to the left. Some say Jesus is buried 30 feet to the right. Some say that Jesus is buried right here where this bus goes over. Who cares? Jesus doesn't. Why do you come here looking? He is risen.
Amen.
Catch a bus and go home. Go teach the ABCs about Jesus and let someone else teach the DEFs until you can. But go! I bet the Jewish population over there just gets sick of looking at these word hogs bumping in, coming in there, you know, roll away the stone. And everybody's an expert, you know, over there, you know, roll away the stone. And they get inside there. And there, you know. And some preacher gets a free trip over there. He's been over there maybe 25 times because he signed up 24 ignoramuses to go over there for the 15th time. See, and they all go over there. They go through the same route. Mostly what they like to do is fellowship and go out and eat. The only difference is they don't have any Perkins over there or Panakukans or McDonald's or whatever. See. But I have sent you out into the world. And where do they go? They go to a tomb. Oh, Jesus isn't here. Wonder where he went. Forget not that he lived and his living was his teaching. And that preaching is in the practice. When people see you practicing what you preach, that's really preaching to them when they see you doing something. So let your life be instructive. Teach from your life, and what you see and hear, allow the Spirit to teach you. And when pain and suffering come, use it. When persecution comes, use it. And don't use it to the martyr complex.
I'm being persecuted. Terrible. Terrible persecution.
When prosperity comes, use that too. Oh, so many people bargain. We've got semi-prosperity, I promise you, I'll give you 50% of it. 55. Would you believe 60? Give me 50 million, I'll give you 49. Huh? No, you are sent to save men. You can't redeem them by the blood, but you can offer them the blood that saves them, the blood of Jesus Christ. See, your election is not only election to personal salvation, but to personal service. You must see others saved. You must give your life. Our calling, it says, is an effectual calling. And so that our effectual calling has an effect on others, it's saying. And so how did he come? He came willingly to do the Father's will, and we must also willingly do the Father's will. And so he came with authority also. And we also have that authority in Jesus' name. Did you know that? We have the authority in Jesus' name. Demons, beware. The Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me because he has anointed me. Isn't this where our sufficiency is to be found? Isn't it? I mean, you'll get as much of the Holy Spirit as you want. And I think the Lord came with absorption. Nothing else. He was absorbed in this thing. Nothing else got his attention. Fulfilling his errand, that was his life. And he was on fire with one desire. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Boy, that woe keeps me going. Let me lock it up. I think it's important that we remain in constant fellowship in the end here with the Father. So many people right now are pulling back. Sue, you ought to write a song. Call it Pull Back. Pull back, da 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 da. Pull back, da 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 da. Pull back. You know, every time a duty comes, pull back. Every time God gives you an order to be sent, then you should write a song for people like that, Sue. Pull back, da 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 da. Pull back, huh? Can't you see them dancing to that? Huh? Little spiritual nymphs. Pull back, da 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 da. Pull back, da 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 da. Feed the poor. Pull back, da 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 da. Huh? Go to work. Pull back, double time. I hope I'm making folks angry. Angry enough to get up from this radio program and do something about pulling back. Don't worry about being an intruder. You are an intruder. Don't dare to run away when you're ridiculed. Then that's the time to pour on the coals. Go double time. Fire up and fire up and move faster. And so we are sent, therefore we are to be helped. Our King never sends his servants all by themselves. God will sustain you. God will sustain this ministry. Did you ever, in your whole of your life, see so much food coming in? Huh? And I went out there, I made a phone call the other day, and I said, I just got to have some space. And there was a card on my desk, Stylo Properties. And I called up this fellow, and I said, look, I need some space. I got all this food, and I don't know what to do with it. Let me call you back in about 15 minutes. Would you like to have a place down here right off of Washington Avenue? It's about 5 minutes from your place. Yeah. And we took all... Yeah, that sounds reasonable. 5 minutes. Can't do any better than that. That'll have to do. I did say that.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 220. That was part two, The Scent Sends. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes to each episode, and within those show notes are scripture links. Have a great week. We'll see you back here every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Just to let you know, Pastor Paul's birthday is Monday, November 14th. We love you, Pastor Paul.
Get ready. You got to move.